Now the parking lot doesn't have to cry out. Hallelujah. God is good.
Amen.
Amen. He is good all the time because that's all God is good. God is love. God is good. What don't people get? They think God's just waiting up there with a thunderbolt. Yeah. God is love. And Jesus told us if you being evil men know to give good things to your children, how much more does your Father in heaven? How much more? And he called us evil, by the way. He was speaking to his followers. He still equated him to evil compared to God. We hold the standard by our measurements. Daddy, I'm 12 feet tall. Well, how do you know that? Because it took 12 of my shoes to get as tall as I am. Here, son, use my shoe. Measure up. We do things like this, not realizing that God is good all the time. And that our measurements fall short. That's why he's so good. Michelle, do you want to come up here or do you want to do it right there? Y'all were able to get that? Okay, good deal. All right. Well, let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. And I'll let these guys are ready to go. They are rip-roaring and ready to go. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for a glorious and beautiful day. Lord, this is the day you have created and we will rejoice. We will be glad in it. Now, Father, we present to you today our tithe and our offering, the representation of our blood, our sweat, and our tears. Father, I pray that you bless it according to your word. Father, may man be a liar and you alone be truthful. That your word will not fall to the ground without first coming to pass. Bless this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. Gotta have a slight dream. Hallelujah. So the last couple of weeks, we have been looking at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, reading about the fruit of the Spirit. And I pointed out to you when we started this that it says fruit. Now, I know a lot of people think that can be taken as a multiple or a plural. If it meant that, then it would have said fruits, just like we were taught fruits and vegetables. Fruit meaning a singular fruit, but it can be multiple things on it, just like the fruit on a tree. It's all the same fruit. But we read that, and Paul told the Galatians, he said, now the fruit of the Spirit is love. These rest of these things, even though in our vernacular, our English with all of its punctuation and all that starts off with love, joy, peace, da 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 da, right? But yet, if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we see something a little different. Paul says, love is patient, love is kind, love is gentle, right? We're going to read the whole chapter, so y'all might as well just hold on. There's 13 verses. It's a big reading today. But he says that. But what does he says, love is this. He starts describing love, which are the very same things used in Galatians. That we keep thinking, well, we got to develop this in order, and we got to develop our love. Well, no, you need to develop these because it is your love. That's what love is. Love is all these things. So if we got your Bible, turn there. If not, read overhead. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I've become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but I have nothing, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Love is pretty complex in reality. Oh, but I love. You know, the English word is so confusing because we use the word love for everything. I love my wife. I love my kids. So you love them the same? Well, there's attributes that are different. We're going to look at some of those attributes. Because the problem is we use one word to cover everything, and it really doesn't. It does not describe. Our English language, we have to use 10 words to say one. Instead of back in the days of Greek writing, when it was common, one word described a bunch of stuff, a whole philosophy, a whole theory. And so things kind of get lost. I love this. I love that. I love you. Do you love me? Well, probably not the same. Because there's a difference in the type of love I have for you than there is the type of love I have for my wife and my children. We're going to look at some of those today. Now, I believe the Bible has actually 7 different words in the Greek that it has used for love. We're going to look at 4 words. These were more common. 3 of these were more common in Greek writing. One of them was rarely ever used in Greek writing, but only got its stage presence in the Christian realm. If you've been around the church long enough, you know what word I'm talking about. And that word is agape. That is the word that's translated love. Now, in the Strong's, if you just look in your Strong's, it just means goodwill, benevolence, affectionate regard. Well, that's just kind of real. It doesn't describe anything. But you have to look at how the word was used and what was around at the time. And when it was used, how was it described? Now, recently I'm like, okay, I don't know about you, but if I go to a Chinese restaurant and there are not Chinese people cooking, we got a problem. Mexican restaurant, there's no Mexicans, we got a problem. I want the people that know the food, right? I want the people that know the language. Huge barrier when an English person tries to translate something. Now, but if you've studied the language, you may get some bonus points with me. But I did find this guy, and the book was, I don't know if it was written in Hungarian or what, but I had to translate it from Hungarian. And let me tell you right now, there's a lot of things I'm like, what? What happened here in the translation? Things do not go where you thought they were going, because they were trying to say something else, and we had to have 10 words to describe what they said in one. So I've been looking at the Greek and reading what this guy had to say about some of these things. And some of the things he had to say were pretty eye-opening for me. So we have four main words for love. The first one we're going to look at is the word eros. Does that sound familiar to anybody? The word erotic, arise. That's exactly what it means. It is sexual love. That's why I cannot say that I love you the way I love my wife. Two different types of love. I don't love my children that way. That's just wrong. It's also the name that was given to the Greek god of love. Aristotle said that eros always begins with the desire of the eyes, for no one will fall in love without being charmed by beauty before. Men, we are dogs. We are attracted by sight. She pretty. She smelled good. And then we go over, and then we find out about personality. We don't care about personality. We care about, are you pretty? If we find you pretty, we will pursue. Eros does not occur in the New Testament. Not because bodily or sexual love is rejected by the New Testament, but rather at the time this word expressed desire, pleasure, rather than love. We use the same word, making love, right? Isn't that the term? No, you're not. You don't even have to love each other. It's a physical thing. However, when it's done without love, it leads to problems. You don't have to believe me. You want to go find out for yourself? Knock yourself out. And when you come back and you're praying, Lord God, do they have a shot for this? Why can I not keep anybody? Then you might start believing me. Phileia. It's the highest expression of love in the Greek. It is intimate, close, gentle treatment, or gentle trait of body, soul, and spirit. Also means physical love, because the verb version, philetine, has the meaning of kiss or hug. It's gentle. It doesn't mean that you're getting all cozy. It just means you gave somebody a hug. Or, like, I kiss my grandchild. I only kiss my wife and my children and my grandchildren. But my children, since they're all boys, they all hit a certain age. They said, Dad, will you be upset if I don't kiss you? I said, I'm not going to get too bent out of shape. But yet I know my wife still kisses her father and her mother. But that's okay. I'm not, like I said, I didn't come from a kissing family. They barely hugged. Because they thought if you hugged, you were going to molest somebody. And that's what the church taught them, by the way. I didn't know that until years later. Aristotle said it is the desire of the lover to see his lover and the desire of his partner to be attentive. But when the love of his lover disappears, so does the phileia. When that desire is gone, there's no more attention. There's no more gentleness. It's also a sign that there's something wrong in your relationship. And it's not always the other person. I'm just going to say that. Everybody in the church wants, it's always somebody else's fault. It's never my fault. I don't know how many guys I see on Facebook. Why won't nobody love me? That's all they ever post. There's why, princess. Buck up. You say you're a man, act like it. Oh, my opinion, a woman doesn't want somebody who's just gushy. She don't need another girlfriend. She needs a man. That is what women are looking for. They're not looking for a little boy to raise. You got a mama? When you leave the house, you're done. Mama don't need to pick up after you no more. Next one, storge. It refers to the love of family. Parents to their children, children to their parents, and siblings, relatives, also acquaintances to each other, friends. You get to know your friends. I hope. You get to know your family. I hope. Your brothers, your sisters. I mean, you grew up together. You know the exact same things for the most part. But then there's that word, agape. Funny sounding word. Even funnier spelled. But agape. Again, goodwill, benevolence, affectionate regard. The verb version of this, agapeo, is commonly used. But the noun, love, agape, is rarely used. And the reason being is because it means a new trait. A new attitude to our fellow human beings. An attitude that develops in the Christian community, but it is not without the power of, is not without the power of God. You cannot have agape without God. Okay? Agape comes. It's only in the Christian community. That's why the word was hardly used. They had no regard. Because what I'm going to start telling you more about the word agape is because this blew people's mind. Because you have to understand the philosophy at the time. You have to understand that the word meant something different back then. And we've thrown it up today and we've thrown it into one category, love. Oh, I love my dog, but not like I love my wife. And not only in the arrows thing, I will not risk my life for my dog. Sorry. I love him, and if the house is on fire, I'm going to try to get him out, but I'm not going back in if it means I'm going to die. Besides that, he'd probably be the first one out the door. Because he is usually trying to be the first one down the steps, the first one out the door if you open it. So I've just learned to open the door and step aside because there's a black streak running through. We're breaking him on the steps, though. So this is why it was only gained its full significance in Christianity. It's because you got to have the power of God in it. Aristotle writes that only a person who is worthy of love can be loved. By the way, this is the world's view of love, not God's. These next couple things I'm going to tell you are the world's view of love. And you got to understand, this was the understanding at the time of Christ, the time of Paul, when they were writing all this stuff. This was the philosophy that was going around. This was the teachings that were there. The further we get in time, the quicker philosophies come up. The quicker things change. Words mean something totally different. One year, the word cool is the go word. Next one, it's righteous. Then it's bad. And then it's sick. And if you don't know that, and you say, oh man, my wife is sick. Well, yes, she is. What are you talking about? Sick means cool. Or hot. In my case, hot. My wife is hot. He talked about people who long for love, but their pursuit is ridiculous if they can't show anything worthy of that love. These were the teachings going around. You only love if somebody is love, if it's worth your love. He emphatically states that no one can expect to be loved if there's nothing in that that provokes the love or sympathy. You had to be worth. Now are you understanding why people don't understand agape? Epictetus, a Stoic philosopher who was a former Roman slave turned philosopher when he got freed, said, "Everything that is of interest to man is love." By the way, you do not want to study Stoicism. It's this kind of teaching. Aristotle, Epictetus, they were in the same line. And we'll talk about it in a minute. Man will pursue these things or people he finds of value or loves. He only pursues, and he was right on this, we only pursue the things that we find of value. And that's not always a bad thing. Let's understand that. I only collect Marine Corps memorabilia, military items, okay? Well, this is an Army World War II locker. Yeah, it's Army. I collect Marine stuff. I don't have anything against my brothers in the Army. I only collect Marine Corps stuff because that's what means something to me. You might like a certain type of truck because that's what your dad drove. You might like a certain football team because that's what the family liked. That's the truth. Because all you Brown fans, I do not get you. I'm just teasing. You can let the hair down on the back of your neck. These are the world's view of love. I only love you because you love me. But if that ever stops, I don't love you anymore. That is the world's view of love. I don't like you anymore. We are so fickle now. How many times do people have to get engaged? It's a joke. Hollywood stars. Oh, we're engaged. I just got divorced last month, but now we're engaged. It's a crock of bull. It's a fickle love. They think they love, but they will not stay with anybody. So what makes agape or Christian love different is that it loves the unloved and unlovable. It seeks that which is best for one's companions, no matter who they are, what they've done, and or doing. Do you mean I gotta love this person over here? Absolutely. What, do you think you're better than God? Romans tells us that while we were yet sinners, God sent Jesus. While we were still sinning, he sent Jesus. Not, oh, you got saved, you got into church, you got all cleaned up, now I love you. That's not love. In Christian love, man's merit does not play a role. It doesn't matter if you're president, senator, congressperson. None of that matters. It doesn't matter if you're the mayor, a judge, whether you're a preacher, whether you're an elder, or you're a deacon. None of it matters. God loves me the exact same way he loves Gloria and you. The exact. I'm no special. I'm not special to God. Do you get it? Preachers are not special. But the same Christ died for you that died for me. So you're not special either. We're all equally special because God loved us. Greek writers believed that love is almost exclusively conceived. In other words, it had to be birthed in something. Something had to start it. Aristotle defined love as the highest friendship that can therefore apply to only one person. You can only love one person. What a miserable life. You got to choose between your son or your wife. I can only love one of them. It's what Aristotle says. I mean, after all, he's Aristotle. He's got to be a genius, right? Realize most geniuses are morons. They really are. They may have been able to discover what planets were flying around. I know he didn't do that, but they might know that that's a planet. But they're total morons and things. That love can only focus on one focal point. Christian love is all-embracing goodness. Augustine said, God loves us all as if he wanted only one man. God loves us all as if he was only after one. That's agape. Christian love differs from general or average human love. Human love is heartbreak. We get heartbroken all the time. Oh, my heart breaks. But agape takes on the whole personality. This love is not only a matter of the heart, but also of the spirit and even the will. Agape is a victory. It's a victory over our own self. The fruit of the Spirit is inconceivable without the power of Christ. That's why you work on all those attributes. Patience, gentleness, kindness, meekness. All of those. Against all those things, there is no law that can be written. But I can find laws written about me killing people. I can find laws about me speeding. Right? We got laws on the book about lying to a judge. It is therefore pointless to preach to the world the need to accept the ethics of Christian love. That's going to kind of hit you hard. But if you understand what I'm saying, and I'm going to hopefully define that a little better for you. This is only possible for one who surrenders to Christ and receives his Spirit. We try to preach Christian morality through God's love of agape. One, we don't understand it ourselves. But two, we're trying to preach to them that without Christ in their heart, without the power to change, they don't get it. It's white noise. It's just love. Oh, I love. Well, I really hope you don't love me the way you love Doritos. I mean, when you're done with Doritos, you just crumble up the bag and throw it away. What about me? What are you going to do when you're done with me? We're trying to preach morality to the world, one, without understanding how we're supposed to be. We refuse to let God change us because we really do not understand what love is. Love is intimate. Love knows. There's so much more in 1 Corinthians 13. It's not a poem. It's not a catchy phrase to put up on your wall or a song. It's the very power of Christ to overcome. It is the power. Anybody deal with depression a lot? You don't have to raise your hand. Start working on these attributes. Because most of the time depression comes because a lie comes in and says nobody loves you. Right? Nobody cares for you. Everybody hates you. You need to start casting down those thoughts and imaginations because they exalt themselves against what? The knowledge of God or Christ. What is the knowledge of Christ? That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. He died for you. As if he died for the whole world, but he died specifically for you. If you were the only person, he'd have still done it. We don't get that. We'd have said, you know what's one? What's one? I'll just leave that. I'll leave that penny. Even though I've got 99 cents, if I had a penny, I'd have a dollar. But I'll leave that penny because I'm not going to bend over to pick it up. Jesus said, I'll go back and pick it up. I'll put my money in the bank, and I'm going to go back out here, and I'm going to pick that penny up because I want it all. John 12:32 said, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. You know, folks, not only was it on the tree, the cross, he's talking about if we will lift him up. If we will lift him up. Instead of trying to exalt our ministry or our gifts or our talents or whatever we are, if we lift up Christ, in other words, if we live as Christ, we love people regardless of who they are. We will be like Christ. And if we're lifting him up, he draws people to us. People are drawn to true and real love. What's going on in the world right now is all false. We lift Christ up by following his examples and his teachings. The idea of Christian love is new to the Gentile world. Contemporary philosophers strive for inner peace or peace of the heart and mind. There are two basic things that are needed for this type of love, this philosophical love. The one is autarky. Yeah, I'm telling you. Not only do I butcher the English language, I'm butchering the Greek too. It's absolute independence from things and even one's own personality. Y'all picking up on something yet? They're trying to find love, so what do? They start seeking independence from who they are. God created them a boy. I don't feel loved as a boy. I'm going to become a girl because everything's swinging to the girl. What happens when it swings back? You can't sew the thing back on. They are divorcing who they are in the name of love, seeking love because it's philosophical. That's why you have all of these mental midgets running around right now screaming about how we need to let our children figure out who they are. Did Henry Ford let a Model T decide who it was? Or did Henry Ford, the creator of the Model T, say, you are a Model T? God said, you are a man. You are a woman. That's it. He didn't create 10 different things. It's a lie from the pit of hell to destroy people. But the church is embracing it. The false church. The Bible teaches there's a separation. I told you before, and I heard Jimmy Evans the other day talk about it. I taught you this a long time ago about the marriage supper and the 10 virgins, right? Five are wise, five are foolish, and I said 50% of the church will not go. And that's exactly what Jimmy Evans said the other day. That's what he said. It's exactly what it means. Half of the church will disqualify themselves. Folks, we're living in an exciting time, but it's a dangerous time, especially if we don't know what we're talking about. Well, I only love you if you love me. I only love you if you do good for me. Our love is conditional in the church. It should never be conditional. That's what the word unconditional meant in agape. It's unconditional. There are no conditions. The two words that made up autarky, that's why I'm going to say it, because that's the words that makes it up. It's auto, self, Arcane means take the lead or suffice. Self-sufficiency. The world is now saying, I am self-sufficient. I don't need a God to define who I am. I don't need nature to define who I am. I need to define who I am. It is the spiritual attitude that finds salvation and peace entirely and exclusively in itself. Phil and I were just talking about this. Jesus, no other name by which we may save. Phil looked, came over and he said, brother, he said, your name can't save me. And Phil's name can't save me. Phil can't save me. I can't save Phil. Only Jesus Christ could save us. God in the flesh could save us. Not philosophy. Not this open-minded garbage. It's not love. It is not love. It's harmful to people. The second thing they need is apathy. This is close contact with autarky, but it's not apathy in a sense of indifferent. It's a nonsense that perceives joy and suffering, luck and sadness as affecting nothing. Whether you're happy or sad, it doesn't matter. Whether you had good luck or bad luck, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. If this is the ideal life, then love is the great enemy of peace. Of this type of peace. Because love says, I love you regardless of what you're doing to me. I love you regardless of how you're treating me. Smith Wigglesworth's wife, y'all have heard it many times. He was an alcoholic. He was abusive. He'd beat her, kick her out in storms, make her sleep on the front porch without a cover. She kept loving him. She got to see her husband born again, radically saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, so much so that he preached the truth and the power of God with example. He was a miracle worker. To Epictetus, love is a way of servitude. Philosophy helps one to attain indifference, but you must educate yourself. This education starts with insignificant things. A dish or cup that can be broken at any time. That's where you start. Oh, just a cup. No big deal. Doesn't matter. Then you move on to bigger things. A coat. Oh, I ripped my coat. Meh, doesn't matter. Then your dog gets hit. Damn, doesn't matter. It's nothing. Doesn't mean nothing. Then your spouse gets killed. Doesn't matter. Doesn't affect anything. It's called cold. The world is getting to this point to where nothing phases it anymore. We read of atrocities committed. And people are just let go. Why? Doesn't matter. You have to get to the point of losing these things so it gradually comes to the point that you become indifferent to what happens to them. Even your own body, so much so that even the loss of family no longer affects you. If loss of a loved one does not affect you, there's something wrong. You're going to miss them. I get it. That's where the believer has an edge up. I know I'll see my spouse, my children. To understand these thoughts, we must see that the attitude towards people does not stem from one's identification with one another, but from the superiority of oneself. He becomes his own virtue and stands above others. That is what philosophy teaches. That is stoicism. You're better than everybody else, so what does it matter? I can promise you. You can ask my wife. We had this old dumb beagle. I mean, beautiful but dumb. I don't know if they're all that dumb, but this one was particularly dumb. And we had her for 3 years up to that point. And got up here, and I thought, I'm going to start rabbit hunting again. Take her out, and I would jump the rabbit. I'm watching the rabbit, and I get her over here. There's the track. I can still see the rabbit running in the snow. And she looks at the track and walks the other way. I'm like, doesn't that excite you or anything? She walked away. I dropped the hammer on my shotgun. The snow went flying. She tucked her tail between her legs and came over here, and she started running rabbits after that. But you can tell, ask my wife how many times, I'm going to kill that dog. I'm going to kill that. We lived in base housing. She was an outside dog. You don't have a barking dog at 3 a.m. in housing with Marines. They do not like it. So as soon as she'd start barking, I'd be out there with my newspaper. Shush. Then I found out half the time why she was barking. Because my neighbor didn't want to clean the grill off and had rats crawling all over it. So my dog was barking at the neighbor who was checking out the rats. But that dog got hit. And I remember thinking how much better my life would be without her. Oh, I'll just, you stupid dog. I'll be so much happier when you're gone. I wasn't. I was a little heartbroken. I just got her to run rabbits. Some jerk on 314 decided he wanted to hit her. I wasn't happy. Did it change my life any? No, life went on. But, you know, didn't stop me from getting another dog. Didn't stop me from loving. In stark contrast, Christian love is the very opposite of pagan philosophy. Pagans teach, educate yourself to be indifferent. Christ teaches, educate yourself on surrendering to God for the benefit of your fellow man. Instead of teaching yourself to endure the flame, God says, educate yourself. Why are you sticking your hand in it to begin with? Oh, just to show my discipline. That don't show squat. It shows nerve damage. Pagans teach not to get intimate knowledge with others, whereas Christ teaches us to see with his eyes, think, and feel with him. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was also in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He's been in our shoes. He walked our shoes. He walked this planet. He knows what it's like to be betrayed, to be lied to have people lied on. He knows what it's like. If we want to be godly, we got to start acting like Christ. I don't want to act like Peter. I don't want to act like Paul. You need to understand, those men, as great as they were still flawed. And you're going to replicate their flaw. Several years ago, I've got this 13-inch wood planer, and I kept running that wood planer through. And I started noticing a little ridge. And I'm like, what is that ridge? Every board I ran through had that ridge. I took the covers off, started searching around, found out one of the blades had a chip in it. So it was cutting the ridge, little fine ridge all the way through every board. And I was having to sand off or take it off by hand. I replaced those blades. Actually, I found out they could turn around, so I turned them around. I eliminated the problem and went back to what was perfect. I'm not saying don't listen to the teachings of Paul and them, okay? Listen, Peter's a great man, but he's also teaching people to be circumcised. Paul's like, what are you doing? It doesn't matter. I refuse to become a Jew. I'm not a Jew. I'm not going to practice Judaism. I'm going to practice just worship with God. But Paul and Peter, all of them were flawed. As great a man as they were, I'm flawed. You're flawed. We're all flawed. But Jesus Christ was the only one who was perfect. The only one. And that's the example we need to follow. He cared about the poor. He cared about those who were hurt, who the world pushed away. You do remember he ate with the publicans, tax collectors. He ate, had dinner. And I ain't saying you need to go out to the brothel and have dinner. Don't get me wrong. But you need to understand there were women that were around him who had questionable pasts. And he forgave them. He never judged them because of that. He had men that were their Johns, just so you know. Everybody, oh, the men were all so holy. No, they weren't. You got one guy who thinks it's okay to go out and kill Romans. He's obviously affected Peter. You got a couple boys there that are more worried about who's going to be more important in the kingdom of God. And yet he didn't. He kept correcting them in love and raising them up. That's where I'm going to stop today. We're going to be looking more into the love and the love of God and what this love does. Then we're going to go down through the rest of the verses. Because what you need to know is every love is this, love is that, love doesn't do this. All of those are Greek words that mean something. Some of them have something to do different than what you think they do. They just do it because they think it's what will work in our translation. And like I said, you got to know what the words meant. I mean, if I wasn't raised up through the 70s and 80s, I'd have no idea what the word groovy meant. I think it would mean, well, somebody ran their fingers through the concrete and grooved it. You know? No. Yeah, some of y'all created that word. I come over here where I can preach that one. We know. Pat's like, groovy, man, groovy. Yeah, it was a good thing, but you see what I'm saying? Today the word's not even used. Although it will probably come back, because guess what? Everything repeats itself. Everybody worried about the man bun. Oh, look at the man bun. It's the sissiest thing. Go tell that to a Shogun warrior. There ain't anybody in here got the stones for that. Shogun warrior pull out his katana and whoosh. Man purse. I don't want to carry. Listen, folks, it's only been the last maybe 100 years that men weren't carrying bags. Other than that, men carried bags. Great big bags. They carried all their money, their papers, all that stuff in them. Why are we getting... Now, there are certain things. Lace, men, ruffles. No, we can't do that. I've seen some outfits. No, men don't need to be... Men don't... Yeah. I ain't questioning your manhood, just your taste. All right, let's stand this morning. As I continue to preach on love, and in this particular scripture, I'm going to tell you right now, God has already shown me so many things about certain words and certain phrases in this that mean so much more than I'm like... Wow, this has got, it's got to be God. Because I've looked at this. It's all highlighted in my Bible. I've read it 100 times. You probably got it highlighted in your Bible too. But there were things in there that I'm seeing now through the eyes of love. Because God gives revelation when we're trying to walk in love, not when we're trying to control people. We'll get more into that down the road. But I want you to understand, God is moving in his people to be holy and to love. If we don't have love, we have nothing. And why are we a church? If we're not loving, then we're not Christians. That's all there is to it. That's what it means to be a Christian, is to be Christ-like. Christ was the very epitome of love. But like I said, there's so much to look at as far as God's love and how we need to react and how we need to be. But we'll talk about some of that because there's a lot of things we know. Perfect love casts out fear. Well, we've all been trying to just cast out fear by the name of Jesus, but the truth of the matter is, it's our mature love. We'll get into it. Our mature love casts out that fear in us. So much more. There's so much. God's got so much more power than you can ever imagine. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is something the Lord has been putting on my heart. And as I watched Jimmy Evans the other day, it's obviously not the only one. Jesus is coming back very soon. I don't care what you think. He's coming back. And I've had a few eye-openers on some few scriptures, and I do believe they are maybe leaning towards we escape. Jesus said, pray that you may escape the great tribulation. So just so you know, there's a lot in the word, but Jesus is coming back, and you better start getting your act together. Because like I said, 50% is not good odds. You determine which side of that you're on. Right now, the church, the church that calls itself the body of Christ is splitting over the very things I pointed out. You can't love God and be a hateful sinner and prideful and arrogant, because that's not love. And anyhow, that's it. I'll shut up. But I want you to know I love you. God loves you. And I only love you because God loved me. And I can now love you through God's love. Because I didn't like myself and I didn't like people. Somebody got upset because I said I didn't like people. Get over it. I said, I didn't. People hear what they want to hear. And I'm just letting you know, I've pulled the punches on a few things from time to time, but and then I get blasted by somebody who hears what they want to hear. I may call you out in service, so you might want to watch what you're saying about me. That's just all there is to it. Because there's some people that are going to go to hell. And they're sitting in churches right now thinking they're okay with God. But they didn't hear everything the pastor said because they shut their brain off and only believed. We'll get into it. Like I said, there's so much. I told Angela, I said, my little office at the church, my house now, has been a godsend. I can sit in there, and I study, and I study, and I study, and I study, and then I get to a point where my mind is, it's on tilt, and I went out. I was like, well, God, what am I doing? Oh, hey, I'm here. Let me go see if I can fix this. And the creativity that just began to flow. I was like, wow, I need to do that more often. Study and then go work on something. God shows me how to just do it, and it goes smoothly instead of me spending 5 hours poking myself with sharp drill bits and knives. But when we understand who we are and that God loves us all the same, that changes, starts changing things and what he did. Amen? Amen? All right, let's pray. Our Father God in heaven, we are truly grateful, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And now, Father, I pray that as you move in our lives, Father, that you show us how to love as you loved, that we love unconditionally, that we don't love one over the other. Father, we don't love our children one over the other. We love them the same. And Father, if that's a problem with us, help us to fix it. Lord, I pray right now that your love be felt wherever we go. Father, that people will see the light of Christ, your anointing shining in our lives. Now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord God, I bless them. Anoint their tongues to speak words of truth and life. Help them to unlock doors that have held people captive. Speak into their lives in Jesus' name. Amen.